Welcome to Was It Good, a podcast that reviews movies and TV shows. Today we're discussing the modern day dystopian movie about a civil war in America called Civil War, directed by Alex Garland. I'm today's episode's host, Krishna, and I'm joined by
Ravi
and Michael.
And we are Was It Good?
Was It Good?
I'll never, ever in my life do that, just FYI.
Never say never.
Yeah, one day we'll get you. So, guys, it's been a minute. How's everyone
six
doing?
Months.
We haven't done that. 6 months?
Six months. Yeah, I looked. The last podcast that we did was Attack on Titan, the series finale, all the way back in November of 2023.
Well, I, for one, have fully absorbed Arjuna. So, hence why my face is here now.
So Arjuna is inside of you.
Oh boy, that is something if we should explain, right? Arjuna, the other member of Was It Good, is busy today.
Yes,
doing God knows what.
On a secret mission.
He's kind of been busy the last 6 months. In fact, he might directly be responsible for why we haven't done this. Maybe.
I mean, I don't know if that's fair to put on one person. So.
No, it's true. I'm joking, Arjuna. If you watch this, joking jokes.
If, of course, he's watching.
He's a professional.
Yeah, imagine he is actually watching the live stream that's uploaded that we accidentally hit because we don't know how to work programs.
Oh goodness. I'd love to know where this is live streaming to, because that would dictate how we do this, really.
Cable TV.
So we are talking Civil War, and we're gonna jump in like we usually do with one word impressions, because one word impressions are just such a fun, easy way to get into this. So, Ravi, what is your one word impression for Civil War?
It's been so long, I forgot that we do these, and I know you sent the outline ahead of time, and I read the outline. I legit read the outline, and in all my wisdom and knowledge, I didn't prepare, so I'm kind of winging it right now. I'm just gonna keep saying words and thoughts until something pops in my head, and
the right
word. You know what it is? You know what it is? It is going to be visuals. Visuals is going to be my one word impression for Civil War, primarily because this film is beautifully shot. We didn't unfortunately get to see it in IMAX, but I would say this is an IMAX level type film. The visuals that they use, cinematography, it's very impactful, very kind of in your face, definitely adds to kind of the atmosphere and the world building. And then also with the visuals and everything, it's also a little bit difficult, right? Like this movie is, taking on kind of a close to home situation, right? The backdrop is this American Civil War. The actual story is, obviously Kirsten Dunst's character and passing on the torch and war photography and journalism and that responsibility and that stuff. But again, the visuals of what's shown, because it does feel like it could be real world in America, hopefully it isn't in my lifetime at least, it's just can be difficult to kind of stomach and watch.
Absolutely. I'm gonna jump right in, because I think my one word falls quite nicely from that, and that's gonna be intensity. The intensity on this movie, I felt, was dialed up to 11. Especially the second half. The first half I thought was based on what we got in the second half. The first half actually felt like sort of a nice ramp up. It took its time. The second half, when we got into the actual war part of Civil War, and we see our photographers or our journalists in the thick of it, I think I had definitely an elevated heart rate for that entire second half. And I think the visuals directly played into that. The sound design, I know you guys mentioned that right after the movie, and absolutely just so well done with putting you in that chaotic warlike environment. It's weird, but it's I have to say, just based on the war itself, the war cinematography and the action, I'm not a war movie buff, but from what I've seen, it's one of the best war movies I've seen, based solely on the fact of how intense those scenes were. So intensity is definitely my one word. Michael, what is your one word?
My one word is going, I've had time to think about it, but it always comes back to the same word, which is fuck.
Fuck?
I was thinking of intensities.
Sure.
Then we could have intensities. But I don't think we went to 10 cities in this movie. So, no, but fuck, because that's what it felt like. Like, that's how I've kind of felt the last few days after watching it. Like, this movie has really stuck with me. I almost went and watched it again yesterday. And I've been listening to the soundtrack, and like, it just perfectly fits the word fuck in that, just that, like, oh shit, we're fucked. And absolutely. I mean, it with the visuals, the sound design, you know, the fact that it didn't get political. I know we'll probably talk about that whole situation later, but I think this movie was just perfectly made to encapsulate this background. You know, you get those headaches that you just sort of feel, but they're not intense. There's just always been, there's just for the last several years been this like background noise of danger, and this movie is sort of like visualizes everything that's been simmering at the bottom of my mind of like what the future holds. And it doesn't matter the politics. It's like all I see is this in our future. And so it was like, that's, it felt crazy to watch it.
Yeah, that you said that so well, and actually leads perfectly right into my first question, because we live it. I know we're professional here.
It's like you did an outline before this.
I know. It's beautiful.
It's like, no,
the layup. The layup is right there. So we do live in very interesting political times, and you know, there's no way. I don't think anyone who's seen this movie wouldn't come out of it thinking that the interesting political times is why this movie was made and why it's so impactful. So knowing that and thinking about that, like Learman said, sort of the uncomfortable atmosphere that we've been living in the last few years, what were your expectations going in? And I think what I mean by that is sometimes movies come along and you're not sure what to expect, but you know there's going to be a heightened level of attention on it. I think the most recent example that I can think of is The Joker. And the reason I bring up, I think of The Joker is there was a theater shooting, right, around the Dark Knight with the previous Joker. And I couldn't help but have that in the back of my mind going in to see that movie. So my expectations for the movie were clouded by that uncomfortable feeling. But this movie, we've had January 6th. We've had 4+ years. More than, I mean, maybe 8+ years, maybe more than that. It depends on how far you want to go back and look into it, of really divided and polarizing political rhetoric. So how did you guys feel going to this movie? Ravi, if you want to kick that off.
I mean, it's interesting, you know, you bring up like Joker. I think about the Batman as well. You know, in the Batman, there's that scene with the Riddler and his kind of incel buddy group that are like, oh, we're gonna go and like shoot up the place. And I remember, I think Christian, I think you were here when we saw that, maybe not, but I remember like a bunch of us went to go see it, and I remember turning to, I think it might have even been you, Learman, and being like, at the end of it, I was like, oh, I was looking for the exits, because I was like, this is too close to home, this doesn't feel safe, like it doesn't feel comfortable. And again, like, because yeah, of the shootings that have happened in theaters, of the shootings that have happened in just random places in America. And I think my expectation with this film was, and I even said it to all of you guys, I was like, I don't think I'm going to see this the first week when it comes out in theaters. Just because, again, I like legit have a, I think, a warranted fear that people are fucking crazy. And, you know, I thought, in a maybe a bad way, that like there would I thought something bad would have happened with this film, where either people didn't like the political statement that was being said about the movie. And, you know, it's been, I think, 2, 3, 4 weeks or however long it's been since the movie's been out in theaters. And, like, there hasn't been a lot of, like, discussion in terms of, like, utilizing this movie about from, like, the political standpoint. There have definitely been those individuals on the internet that are saying things such as, like, you know, I agree that a civil war should happen, like, that type of stuff. But, again, the movie, and Michael, you said at the beginning, like, the movie doesn't come across as like a super political thing, right? The movie is about a story, and the Civil War is the backdrop. The Civil War that's happening in America is very much used kind of like as the world that the story is taking place in. And that's why we don't get like left versus right or red versus blue and this political view and this political view. It's just how do you, you know, take the story and then have these people try and do this thing in a country that is falling apart, essentially. And it's also, it's one of those things where it's like, I think this needs to be stated. As Americans living in America, we are super privileged that our country, this country, has not faced an actual civil war. Because there are legitimate countries whose governments
are... You mean
a modern day? Faced a civil war.
Yeah, right.
Just
right.
In our lifetime.
Right, yeah. What I'm saying is like in our lifetime, in modern day life, there are countries in the world whose governments are being turned over, et cetera. You don't know who's running what and you're in fear and such. So, you know, I think it is good that we put the emphasis on that. We know that we are, even though things feel bad sometimes in America, like we are still very much privileged when it comes to like the rest of the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
I also want to say real quick, it's hilarious that we take 6 months off and the podcast that we come back with is like such like a Debbie Downer of a film.
Yeah.
It is.
I was going to say, literally, you literally just said like you've been thinking about this and
but
like.
But not like down about it necessarily. Sure. Just like.
No, you've just been
swimming.
Your one
it.
Word was fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah!
Yeah.
Boom.
Like that, but fuck is so versatile. It could be like
it is.
Or it could be like America. Oh. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Oh man. Michael, how about you? What were you expecting going into this?
I had no idea what to expect, honestly. Like, I'm a big fan of Garland. You know, I've talked about Devs, the show that he did a lot, and I loved Ex Machina. And, you know, he did 28 Days Later. He did, you know, he wrote one of my favorite sci-fi movies, Sunshine. All of these movies that he's done in the past and the things that I know him from are always, or at least to me, have always been this bleeding edge type of situation. Like, what does AI in Ex Machina, for instance, what does AI mean? In Devs, you know, he asks a different question, which I won't say since we're not talking about that and you all haven't seen it.
Episode two.
But again, Devs is, huh?
I'm on episode two.
Episode two?
I finished episode two. I'm on technically nice. Episode three now. So yeah, sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, point being is I didn't know what to expect because this felt like, or like seeing the trailers, I was like, well, this just looks like a political statement about the dangers of the current state of politics in America and around the world, just using America as an example. But I may have said it to a couple of people, but also I was like, there's got to be something about this that we're not expecting. So I knew that I went in thinking there would be some sort of twist, and I don't feel like it was what I thought it might be. Well, it wasn't at all what I thought it might be. But I knew that it couldn't be like actually political. I didn't know how it would pull it off. I thought, you know, it did what it did, but like I was like, there's no way it's gonna be just like go conservatives or go liberals and like, you know, one way or the other. But I had no way of knowing how they would do it. So I just I don't know. I didn't know what to expect. I was just very excited to see what Garland was going to do with it. And then there was that final trailer that really got me going, that was talking about how it was the best combat visualized on screen and all of this stuff. And, you know, at that point, I kind of more went in expecting something, something closer to what we got, which, you know, was a war film. And like to what Robbie was saying, I think, you know, what I appreciated about it was, you know, it was kind of shot as if for people who were living after the this Civil War, kind of like how we make Vietnam movies now. And, you know, like there's that sense of, yeah, we all know what happened here. Here's, we've processed it. And now here we're making a drama about some photographers in this Civil War that happened in 20, whatever, you know? So like, I really liked that. And it was definitely counter to what I fully expected. And I thought it really added to the film. And yeah, it was better than expected for me, which was, I don't know what to expect.
Yeah. Just to leapfrog off of that, I think I don't know if it's my favorite element, but one of the best elements was that they threw you in and you had to, you kind of piece together what you think might have happened through certain context clues and conversations. And it's going to sound really weird. The only other movie that I know has done that without heavy, heavy exposition is Star Wars: A New Hope. So when that movie came out, like, you know, they threw you into this, like, this crazy, you know, in a galaxy far away, this crazy war, and there wasn't a whole lot of explaining, right? It's just like, here's this thing, here are these aliens, and this might be the first movie since then that just sort of puts you in there and lets you experience and learn things as you go, instead of trying to force feed you information, which is really funny, because I know there are a few reviews that Learman sort of read out loud to us where one of the knocks was heavy on exposition. I'm like, what the fuck kind of movie did you just watch? Like, excuse me? I'm glad they didn't, but I could see a world where I would want more exposition, because I'm like very curious. And we'll come back to that in a new segment that I have created. Fun story. I actually didn't see a trailer for this movie until Michael showed me a trailer the day before we went to go see it, the one with the crazy combat, whatever. So
yeah,
my expectations for this movie are very different than you guys. I thought it was going to be straight satire. So I thought it was going to be like a comedy. I thought it was going to be like, what was that movie where like the Democrats hunted Republicans?
It was a
Red State. Comedy, right?
Yeah. I know which one.
Was it Red State? The Kevin Smith one?
Maybe. I really don't know. I just remember the premise of that movie. So I thought it was going to be along those lines of a kind of a joke, making a joke of the whole thing. And that was before that. I didn't know who was directing it. I saw like a clip of Jesse Plemons. I'm like, he's a funny guy.
Known for his comedy.
That is kind of amazing, though, that like you thought it was comedy.
His unintentional comedy. Jesse Plemons is probably the best. Like he's not playing funny guys, but the things that his characters do are unintentionally funny. I always find. So I really thought it was not, you know, going to be satire. And then Learman showed the trailer the day before we went to go see it. And then I was like, oh, this is going to be a really good action movie. So, you know, and it was that. It was far more than that, however. But my expectations were very different. Especially because, like, because Ravi was like, oh, got to go see Civil War. And Ravi, I wouldn't consider, like, a diehard, like, war movie person, like, oh, we got to go see Dunkirk. Oh, we got to go see Saving Private Ryan. That's not really Ravi's wheelhouse. So the fact that he was like, go see Civil War, I was like, lent more credence to my idea that it was going to be straight satire. It was not that. And I'm glad it wasn't, because it was more effective. We've had so many satirical things around the political landscape that I'm glad that this wasn't that. It was much more impactful and memorable and with a better message as well. Which actually leads right into the next question. Because as we've already said, we have the main story is following these journalists and them covering war in all of its intensity and heartbreak and disturbingness elements. But the backdrop is the American Civil War. What, in your mind, was this movie's central premise to you? Michael, we'll start with you if you're ready.
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I think it would have changed depending on when you asked me. just because I think coming out of it, I had different opinions than I have now that I've processed it and kind of thought about it, read review, you know, other people's ideas of it, good and bad. But I would say that I think the film's central premise is the human heart in conflict. I stole that from George R. R. Martin. That's what he says he likes to write. but I do think that fits with what I'm trying to say, which is I think it really is about, you know, what drives, that's too vague, I think, but what drives people, you know, like, I think it would be tempting to come out of it and say, like, we're a violent people, because there was a lot of violence, but I don't think that was the core argument. I think the core argument is basically, the premise would be, in my opinion, at least as far as I got it, would be that we are who we are, and like there isn't a lot you're gonna do to change it. You know, I think about when Lee says, you know, she's been to all these wars and she's kept sending pictures home thinking she was sending a warning, don't do this, and now here she is covering it. And I think my takeaway, among other things, is that it's about the fact that we have passion and that passion drives us to do a lot of different things, good and bad. But there's one thing for sure, and that's that we don't really change.
We are who we are at our core, kind of.
Yeah, and I think that all the characters sort of explore that in different ways as far as they, you know, interact, you know, but I don't want to go too in depth with it. I want to leave some analysis and thought to you all, or, you know, maybe this is more of a conversational topic, if, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think there's a lot in this film, and I still am trying to, you know, sort of think about what, you know, I saw one thing that I thought was really great I sent to you guys, which was like, this is a movie not about like an American Civil War, but a journalist Civil War, like how and why you cover things. And like, do you form an opinion and convey that? Is it your duty to just present the information without any feeling? And how does that affect you as a person? Or do you present the information with an insightful editorial to it? And I think in journalism, at least according to, you know, like as this thing I was reading was talking about, was basically like you have old school journalism, which is kind of like Sammy and Lee, and then the new school. And a lot of the new school is, you know, where you used to have like, we just give the information and it's up to other people to decide. New school is oftentimes a lot of like, here's what, I don't want to say here's what you should think, but like it's slanted. It's news with an opinion, I guess, or at least some guidance.
With an agenda.
Yeah, with an agenda.
Absolutely. Fox News.
No, I think it's very true. Like, I, you know, being that I've worked for a news agency, and Christian, you as well. Like, it is very much in the golden age of the internet and SEO and clickbait titles. Like, it is, news is definitely slanted down with an opinion to drive clicks and views, because at the end of the day, news agencies, they need views, they need advertisers, right, to keep stay afloat, unfortunately. And I think because of that, like, to your point, like, old school versus new school, like, I'm not saying journalism in the modern day is dead, but like, it's very it's very different from 20 years ago, let's just say that.
Oh yeah. For sure. Yeah,
very very different than 25 years ago. 20 years ago, yeah, anyways, that's a whole different thing. So the reason I even put the question in there is because I'm having a hard time answering it for myself. And so, Learman, you struggled there.
You wanted us to do the work.
Why I even asked it in the first place. And the thing I keep coming back to is that the junkies in this movie, the adrenaline junkies that we saw, that we were exposed to, were the journalists, the photographers. And I thought that was really interesting. And I also, I forget, I don't know where I read this or where I saw it, but the idea that some people like to take a step back from reality with their camera.
Mm-hmm.
Having a camera puts a barrier between you and what's going on. And so, in this movie, by the way, shout out to Kirsten Dunst. I thought she was absolutely phenomenal. And what the part of her performance that I found so compelling was where she broke down at the end, where you can see the PTSD is kicking in. And before that, she's acting like this tough journalist. She's telling the protege, you know, you got to be smart, you get the shot, you know, basically the rules. And then at the very end, walking up to that the climax of getting closer to the White House, she's the one breaking down, and you can feel the years and years of being exposed to this environment is catching up to her, boom, right there in that moment. And whereas her protege, what is her name, Lily?
Yeah. No, that's in. No, that Lily's Jesse. The lead in Devs. Jesse. Yeah.
Jesse. Yeah. Jesse has now taken on that role in that climax of being the one taking risks, getting the shot. I don't know. For me, I don't know if it's the main premise, but the premise that sticks out to me is just the idea of dealing with trauma with a camera. Putting the lens in front of you to remove, and you know, and you can justify that saying, I have a job, I'm trying to stop the war effort. But to me, it's almost, it's like processing as well. It's like, I'm gonna take these images to try and understand, subconsciously at least, what's going on and the craziness of it all. And I think that's a very powerful, the idea of the camera being the barrier between you and reality, and that's how you can deal with really traumatic things, I think is a very interesting idea, very powerful. And in the day of social media, where more than 50% of our lives are now through a screen, I think it's more relevant now than ever, really. It's how we process things. And then the fact that it's like this American Civil War, just, you know, it's just, it just drives it home, I think. It's like, you know, be careful maybe how you're processing things or what you're using to process things.
Well, yeah, and I mean, something you said kind of pinpointed more what I was trying to beat around, which was this idea of like, do you present the information or do you try and make a difference? Like, you can either sit back and you can take a picture of this stuff happening, or you can get involved and actually do something. And I think that is a question this movie asks, is what should you do? And also along those lines, the idea that like I came out of this like, oh yeah, Kirsten Dunst and, you know, like or Lee and Joel and all of them are the good guys and they're covering all of this. And the more I thought about it, the less certain I was about who was and wasn't, in the right. Right. Like the movie's ambiguity as far as the politics are concerned in the movie feel like, oh yeah. And I think I have sort of developed an idea of what is actually happening. But after thinking about it, the protagonists do not seem as noble to me as they first did when I watched the movie. And they now, one question came up is, you know, they would probably follow the Nazis into Poland to get the picture or whatever, you know, like they don't care about the sides, especially Joel and Jesse. I thought this was interesting too. Spoilers for anybody, pause right now. But those two were the two that smiled at each other at the climax. They were the ones that were getting off, so to speak. And they're also the only two to survive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very true.
Which is so kind of interesting. But I don't know what that, I don't know what it means. But I think, you know, I thought it was interesting. I think there is something there that I haven't fully processed. Like you were talking about with the fact that it's photographers, and especially war photographers, and how that comes into modern times with the way we film everything. And, you know, war is spectacle, and the media or journalism is like, you know, they delight in it in a way because it is, you know, it is what it is. And they're all concerned about, we got to get the scoop. We got to get the shot. It's not what they're getting the shot of. It's that they got it first and that they got it the best. And that's it for them, which is cold.
Yeah, absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head, because the one realization that hit me today was, because the movie's obviously been sitting with all of us, and I was thinking about it, and you can pull back even, and this is going to be like a vague statement, but humans are drawn to peak emotional experiences, right? That's why we consume what we do. That's how the news works. That's why we watch movies. That's why we read things. It's because we're not looking to experience more of the mundane and the everyday and the ordinary. We actively seek out the peak human experiences, and a very small minority of us wants to and actively tries to live that out. The majority of us would just are happy to read about it, watch it. And so I think the journalism aspect's interesting, because they are putting themselves on the very edge. But then to your point, why? And I thought the movie did a perfect job of showing some differences, like why they do what they do. Also, Jesse, I think at the very beginning, it seems like her motivation is to sort of make a name for herself. You know, she's like, she's been looking up to, why am
Lee.
I so bad with
Lee.
Names? Lee.
Lee
thank
Smith.
You.
Yeah.
You know, she looks up to Lee, wants to follow her, get, you know, learn the ropes. And then by the end, she's gone full Joel and is, you know, like, oh God. So really, really well done there.
Make the take that Jesse purposely jumped out to make Lee save her so that she could get her killed and get the shot?
Wait, you saw that on the internet?
Yeah, well, apparently that's been some ideas floating around. Somebody said that.
Wow,
online.
And then her and Joel like hatched that plan, and that's why neither of them reacted to her.
Yep.
They wanted her out of the way. She was holding them back.
Exactly. Oh, she was a killjoy, a buzzkill.
Does this have you guys ever seen that Jake Gyllenhaal 2016 movie Nightcrawler?
Yeah.
It just kind of occurred to me that this movie, you could make the argument that this movie is the same thing, but reversed, where the apprentice doesn't like survive. So in like Nightcrawler, the apprentice to Jake Gyllenhaal ends up getting to a car accident, and Jake Gyllenhaal's on the scene to get the shot to sell it quickly.
That's another movie that deals exactly with that, right? Like in Nightcrawler, it's not only is he not stopping to help, but he's going so far as to create crimes.
It, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry for the spoilers.
In order to like get the shots.
No, that's
yeah.
okay. That's okay. That's crazy though.
Holy shit.
But again, it's the same idea of like, yeah, these individuals who are journalists going after like those those shots and things and everything. But yeah, in terms of like central premise of the film, I think it was just one big advertisement for Sony and Nikon. So,
love it.
I know. I mean, also, I also actually haven't looked this up, but while I'm kind of rifting here real quick, do we know what cameras were used for Civil War?
Oh, no, I was going to look that up because I super loved the visual look of it. I'm guessing they used...
Civil War film cameras used. Ari,
Aeroflex.
No, it just says what the cameras that, like the Sony Alpha camera that Lee uses. Alex Garland used the DJI Ronin 4D.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. I saw that. Shit. I forgot to tell you. I was so excited. I forgot when I was watching it. This is going to be the first one that got filmed on one of those that I know
see,
of.
See, the conspiracy theorist in me wanted to say that they were shooting on Reds because I'm not sure if you guys... This is uber camera nerdy shit, but Nikon, which is featured as Jesse's film camera that she's using, Nikon recently bought, I think, majority or all of the Cinema Red camera, like... products and everything, and like they own them now, so I was wondering maybe they bought Red and Nikon basically was like, oh yeah, you have to show our camera or whatever. I don't know, I found it interesting that the cameras felt like very much like ad placement, like when you watch like a Chris Pratt movie, the Coca-Cola logos are very prominent because I think there's some weird sponsorship deal thing he has with them or some nonsense. But yeah,
was it one of you that go ahead.
I was gonna say
go ahead.
The one downfall of doing these pods remote, the millisecond delay and cutting each other off. I was gonna say I think Central Premise is similar to both of you guys, and I think more so on the idea of like journalism, and I think kind of the idea of like what are journalists doing, and I think Larry made a really good point, like, because we don't really know from a political standpoint who is good, who is bad. We don't know, like, if these characters are on the side of the good side or the bad side, whatever, right? It's more the focus and the idea of, as a journalist, are you doing the correct thing by jumping in and giving advertisement, if you will, to these events and things? I think going back, though, onto like the political side of things, I think it's interesting that Nick Offerman obviously was like in the White House, stated himself as the president of the United States, and the people taking and removing him are, the Western forces, which is California and Texas. And if you look at the initial trailer, the first trailer, I definitely remember being like, oh, so California and Texas are bad. Like, that was my thing. I was like, oh, they're the bad guys. They want to overthrow the government. Because when you think of like the United States, you assume good guys, like they're the saviors, they're the ones in charge, they're the ones to bring democracy and justice, so
bring the country back together.
Yeah, so I think it's kind of interesting, like it's not necessarily made concrete clear, like you could make, I think, arguments for both, and I think that takes a lot. Like I think Alex did a really good job setting it up so that it is not clear who is good, who is bad, and like that again is not the main focus. If that was like the main focus of this film, I think we have seen a lot more unrest about the film. I think there would have been people speaking out about the film. We have only gotten the keyboard warriors that have spoken about the film.
Yeah, and I agree, and I think like it makes a good statement that like, it doesn't matter what side you're on. It doesn't matter if you're right or wrong. Like we're killing each other if we do this. And like, like the snipers in that one scene, I think really that scene probably epitomizes that central premise, which is they're shooting at us. So we're going to shoot at them.
Yeah.
Like we don't know anything about them and it doesn't matter because it's kill or be killed. And that's kind of what it feels like.
Yeah. And they were so like, it's obvious. You're an idiot. Why are you asking that question? Like Joel's asking, who are you shooting at? And they're like, are you an idiot? They're shooting at us. Like that was the response. It's like,
yeah. Which
he wasn't that
perfectly
nice.
Summed up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. But yeah, no, I think it's more about the fact that like, no matter who's right or wrong, it's not going to go well. And Lee even says it. There's no version of this that isn't a mistake. And she's talking about Jesse, but like, that's, I think that's also an important line. Like, there is no version of a civil war that's good for anybody, mm-hmm. whether you're right or wrong.
Did you,
I was going to say real quick, like, there was a real civil war in America back in the 1800s. And I believe, and I might be completely misremembering this. This is from middle school, but I remember there was the idea that Abe Lincoln said something along the lines of, like, the fact that we're getting to a civil war means everyone already failed and lost.
I think there, that sounds
something
familiar, but
something,
I don't.
I'm probably paraphrasing it, but like, I believe, and it's right. And I think that also goes for any war. Once you get to the point of you're in war or conflict, everyone's already lost. You all fucked up. Fuck you all.
While you were watching this, was anyone else struck by how many Geneva Convention laws were being broken in this civil war? Like, people surrendering, getting shot. You're not supposed to do that. Like, the rules of war, every single one, I'm pretty sure, was broken in this movie, which I think is just completely backs up what you're both saying. People surrendering, you're not supposed to shoot them. The Geneva Convention is very clear. You take them prisoner. That you're committing a war crime by shooting people who surrender or are unarmed. Happened that last scene especially. I was like, which really like amped up the intensity for me, because I'm like, the Western forces are not good either. They're literally committing war crimes right now. We're not sure. We're not entirely sure if they're justified, right? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. The Geneva Convention will say it's never justified. Depends on where you fall on that side of, you know, war theory, whatever. Disturbing all the way around. For the last bit, before we get to the big question, we're going to play a little segment here called Sequel or Prequel. Now, this movie is not a movie that needs either, but the unfortunate fact in this day of Hollywood is that if and when movies do well, studios want to capitalize. So we're gonna say that the studio really loves what this movie brings in money wise and they want to build out their universe. So the question for you is, would you want to see a sequel or a prequel if another movie is forced down your throat from this same universe?
I think if the sequel or prequel utilizes this world as the backdrop but has an interesting story, like, i.e. like what we got with Civil War, where the war itself is the backdrop, the story is on Kirsten Dunst's character, you know, Lee and Jesse and Joel and such, like focusing on that aspect. I think it would be interesting to kind of see a story of like getting to the Civil War part, like what happened to get there. And I think, again, it would be really interesting to kind of take the journalist viewpoint, because in a prequel, like we're saying, where like the responsibility of journalists, the responsibility of news sites, like they can easily trigger and get people worked up in arms. I think it would be interesting to kind of like, blanket statement wise, if I had to guess, if this world is based on our real world, news agencies and journalists were probably somewhat responsible for getting the country to that point. And yeah. I think it would be interesting to see how a news agency or a journalist or whatever, basically either accidentally or on purpose or inadvertently or whatever, like got to that point. I think that would be an interesting prequel. But again, the idea and the focus needs not be on like political, like left, right, who's right, who's wrong, but kind of accidentally stoking the fire, if you will.
Hmm. Nice. Learman?
Yeah. I was going to say, like, when I was thinking about it, I think either would be an abomination. And it's like, I just don't want to see anything on either side. Interestingly enough, when Ravi was talking, like, my initial response was like, definitely not a prequel. Like, I don't care how this starts, and that's the last thing I want to see. I will say, Ravi, your idea though did did swing me a little bit. And I was like, oh, yeah, that does sound interesting. I would like to see the journalistic side of the beginning of the war and still not worry about the political side, because I think that would be weird. But I think I would go with a sequel because, you know, I feel like the movie ends with the end of democracy. And I would be curious, because once you pull the president out by force and kill him in the Oval Office, like, who's voting anymore? Like, I'd kind of want to see, I wouldn't want to, it would be depressing, but I would like to see the world that comes after this and what Jesse and Joel do, what things look like, what journalism, what the state of journalism and the world is. Because I think, maybe not. I'm not a political science major, but in my mind, it seems like if America goes down, then the world, I mean, we're a big country. We have a big effect on the world for good or bad. Your opinion may vary, but we have an effect. And I think if we go down, that just massively changes the whole world and what it's like to live here. And I don't know what that would be like. And I'd be curious to see what somebody imagined that to be like.
What's interesting, like, we obviously get no perspective outside the United States in the movie, like what the world's going through. But you would have to imagine that you would have already started seeing those effects. Like, what is happening on Canada? What's happening in Mexico?
We did get the thing about the Canadian money. She's like 300. And he's right. like, I get a ham sandwich. She's like Canadian. And he's like, anything you want.
So even like simple things like that, where the Canadian dollar is worth more than the US dollar, would be huge.
Yeah.
You'd have people fleeing the country. You'd have probably a mass exodus in like those hot states, right? Like in the DC, New York area. You know, that you would have refugees at that point, like try and get into Mexico. Like, so there would probably be already big effects happening. Yeah. But yeah, to your point, Lemmy, it would be kind of interesting to see like what is going on in the rest of the world, like what's happening like out in the East, you know, with Russia, with China. Does a Russia and a China essentially say, okay, America's busy, let's just push into Europe real quick?
Or do they back one of the sides? Do those countries back the United States or the Western forces?
Or
true. Do they just?
Oh, yeah.
Were they like?
I mean, it doesn't seem like.
Let them figure it out, right?
Yeah, that's very true.
I think it's interesting that Garland himself is from the UK. He's not even a U.S. citizen.
He's not even American.
It's still something that he was compelled to write. You know, like it. I don't know what that says exactly, but I think it does say that I think maybe more than just us would be concerned.
For sure.
Maybe.
I'll say the reason I threw this in, because Learman said it would be an absolute abomination to get anything else. Because the reason the movie worked is that you're sort of, it's left, a lot of what led to it is left up to the imagination. And then also imagining the aftermath, you know, it would be tough to do either without some kind of politics bleeding in. And depending on, you know, what you do, and it would just be hard. And so I definitely agree, nothing is needed. But if it's being forced down our throats by the hypothetical evil Hollywood studios, then I would say, I think it's funny, because at the beginning of the conversation, I was thinking prequel, because I was so interested during the movie when the little exposition came up. Of like who did what, who started what exactly did the president do? Was it bad or is he being presented poorly? Like, I thought in universe that would be interesting, but from the movie that we got, we shouldn't know that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Sequel would be super interesting because there was the line, I forget who said it, but saying, you know, when the Western forces win, can you imagine what the aftermath is going to be like? All those states are going to fall apart. They'll start fighting amongst themselves, which leads to the idea that the Civil War truly is probably the end of the United States and democracy. It'd have to turn into managed democracy. And this is the prequel to Helldivers, Super Earth.
Oh man.
also
so bleak ending.
Yeah, very bleak. I will also say that this movie feels like it could be the prequel to any Gundam series. Like a faction breaks off, or a big country breaks off. Refugees flee to Mars and they set up their colonies, and then hundreds of years later, they've got Gundams, and off you go. So, yeah, maybe you could go way into the future and go crazy. You know.
All right,
folks. I think it's that time to ask the big question. So I will start. Ravi, was Civil War good?
After conferring with Western forces, I believe. yes, the Civil War film by Alex Garland was really, really good. Alex, if you ever hear this or see this, do not make a sequel prequel and stop making movies in modern day world. You were scaring the living shit out of me, you psychopath. make a movie about like fucking unicorns or something. Like, dear God, or dinosaurs. They were
fucking
never real.
Unicorns? That doesn't sound healthy.
That sounds like Deadpool 2.
Mr. Michael, was Civil War Escape from New York good?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that. I have heard it compared to being shot like Escape from New York and that kind of thing, like it being a road movie. But
true.
Yeah, of course, this movie hit me in my soul as somebody who hides behind a camera oftentimes to feel better and does take pictures separate from the, like, you know, the, like, it's it I could have, I'm not saying quality wise or bravery wise maybe, but like I could have been in that truck too. Like, I that's the kind of thing. I was a photojournalist for a little bit, actually, just out of college, for a podunk newspaper. So, but anyway, point being, it was great. And I had more to say about it, but then I forgot. So I think you should go see it if you're watching this and you haven't. I don't think that we've really spoiled anything we spoiled a lot. But I think that this is a movie that's about the experience. And I don't think that knowing what happens is going to ruin the experience of it, because we could talk about it all day. But I don't think I can really replicate that feeling of watching it and then dealing with it.
Hell yeah.
Okay. So, Krishna, was Mr. Garland's movie Civil War 2024, starring Kirsten Dunst and was Civil War good, Krishna?
It was extremely good. And as someone who thought it was going to be a hilarious satire, it wasn't that, and that is a good thing. Honestly, one of the most impactful movies I've probably ever seen. One of the best depictions of war I've ever seen. And honestly, you know how like Requiem for a Dream is like the best anti-drug movie ever? This is like the best anti-Civil War movie ever. I think every American should go see this so that we can see what a potential future is if, you know, just a potential future. And maybe we should do things to avoid that if we can. So, very good. Extremely good.
If we can.
Color me an Alex Garland fan.
Stan.
I stan him. Thank you for listening or watching Was It Good? You can find us on the web. You can find us on YouTube at youtube.com/wasitgood. You can find us at TikTok and Instagram at wasitgoodpod. You can find us on Twitter at wasitgood. And our website is wasitgood.info. Check our channels to see what our next pod will be on, but we are looking to get back into a regular flow where we drop these things weekly. Until then, ta-ta for now.
Ta-ta.
TTFA. TTFN.
What am I going to have for dinner?